Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business. We've been talking about God's gates of victory. We've been looking at the third chapter of the book of Nehemiah, and I would like to read yet once again a couple verses found in the chapter in Hebrews, the chapter 11, verses 9 through 10, referencing Abraham, the father of our faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And we who are Gentiles have been grafted in, and there is therefore neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female. We are one in Christ Jesus. Verse 10 says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Beloved, we're looking at historical representations of individuals who actually worked on literal gates in the ancient city of Jerusalem to repair it. But beloved, we're making comparisons to a spiritual city that God, whose builder and maker is God. And we know that God has gates for us to enter in. We've been looking at the sheep gate. Jesus is, of course, the door of the sheep. And so we have to, first of all, enter in through him, because he said, I am the door, the gate. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There was the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate. And today we're going to start by looking at, in verse 14, it talks about the dung gate. And now, what possible reference could this have spiritually for our lives? And I would suggest to you it could represent the works of the flesh. We are to pass through or from these things into the salvation of God, to enter into the city of our God. Not through our works, that will not suffice, because our works, it is the work of faith. It is the work of that God has done. That's the only way we can be saved. But then, if we have faith, our works will follow that experience of the new birth. And they will evidence the fact of that change that has occurred in our life. For no one can obtain salvation through good deeds or works. It follows thereafter. We have to come to the Lord just as we are. And the Word of God is clear. It outlines in the fifth chapter of Galatians the works of the flesh, verses 16 through 21, I'm sure familiar to you, but I'll read them quickly. This is Paul saying to the Galatian church, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Boy, that's important to remember. We don't have to worry about all these specifics if we'll learn to walk in the Spirit. For, he talks about a warfare there, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And there's contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he lists specifically the works of the flesh. They're manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, on the contrast, in which there is no law, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's the command. We must make daily choices. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So it talks about, that's what the dung gate represents, those works of the flesh. And I'm also reminded of what Paul said in Philippians, the third chapter, verse 8. And not only just the works of the flesh, but all the things that we did that we thought were important before we were saved in the world. Paul says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss," everything, "but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." That was the only thing that was important to him, really the only thing that should be important to us. In Christ, he has given us richly all things to enjoy. There's nothing outside of Christ. He is the summation of all of God's intent, all of God's creation. In the beginning, he was with God. He is God. He spoke the world into existence. What a wonderful, wonderful God we serve. And Paul is saying, there's nothing, you know, to that old song we used to sing, "Take this whole world, but give me Jesus." Praise God. And so we see that dung gate represents the things that we have left behind. Now let's go on. There's another gate that is mentioned in verse 15, "but the gate of the fountain repaired Shallum, the son of Kolhoze, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David." They're very detailed and specific. But the gate of the fountain, okay, I wonder, what do you think that could possibly mean? Think about that as New Testament believers. Well, I would suggest, and perhaps some of you are already thinking, this gate represents the Holy Ghost. It represents the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit flowing out of us unto others. That's what a fountain is. It just flows with water that's alive. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." John 7, 37 and 38. And in verse 39, the Bible states that this was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was speaking of. David said, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see life." Hallelujah. Psalm 36, 7 through 9. And David said in Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and God shall help her right early." Yes, the gate of the fountain. Oh, beloved, that there's nothing more wonderful than experiencing and knowing the presence, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That yes, when we are saved, we're born again. And what does that mean? The Holy Spirit literally comes and begins to abide in our heart, in our spirit man. But there is that additional filling. The New Testament, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in tongues. And then they were repeated refilled. In other words, Lord, continue to fill, because why? There's a lot that runs out. We get a lot of holes. And there are many things that occur in our lives that we continually need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Isaiah 48 and verse 18. I'd like to share that. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened, this is the Lord speaking, to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Praise God. So there is that fountain that's flowing, that river of living water, that Holy Spirit that is ordained of God to be, as it were, another comforter, just as Jesus, that's what Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphans, but I'm going to send you someone just like me. And what a friend, what a wonderful teacher and guide and instructor and a protector. He knows just how to lead us. And so when Paul tells us to, if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit, he can be our daily guide to lead us into that assurance and that strength that we're walking in God's direction. Now, let's go on and look. I think we've got time maybe for one more gate on this broadcast, and that is in verse 26, we see the water gate. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Orphel unto the place over against the water gate toward the east and the tower that lieth out. So, the water gate. How? What would that represent? I would suggest, again, there's similarities in comparison, but it is referring to what Jesus had to say in John, the fourth chapter, and we'll look at that tomorrow, but it refers to the waters of everlasting life, praise God, and we'll look at that tomorrow. Well, we've just got a few more that I'll share with you, and perhaps with the Lord's help, we can conclude on tomorrow's broadcast. I pray that you're encouraged and inspired to realize that even with the simple things of what appear to be insignificant scriptures, there's meaning and joy and application for our lives today. If you have prayer needs, as always, I invite you to share those needs. The announcer will give our contact information. If you choose to write, that's how I will respond, by correspondence, by the mail. If you choose to email your request, that's perfectly fine. If you'd like an answer, I would suggest that you include your mailing address. However, I will always confirm receipt and pray for whatever that need is. I love you and I thank you for your prayer support and UCM Partners, all that you do to see us continue to go forward for Jesus. I love you, pray for you every day, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,